You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope your day is starting off well. We are, well, it's a little chilly out, about 40 degrees, but breaking the rain here. Can see the sun peeking out behind the clouds, or, you know, the lighter sky peeking out behind the clouds. But nobody cares about today's weather. Everybody's keeping an eye on the forecast for Monday. Because Monday is eclipse day. Yes, we're going to have a total eclipse of the heart. I mean, of the sun. But the all of the people who are bemoaning the fact that we're only going to get 90% totality here on the South Coast, it's still going to be a pretty significant eclipse. Even though we're not in the path of full totality, 90% is a pretty good eclipse. It's going to be good enough that I wouldn't go plant shopping during the eclipse. And those of you who have seen Little Shop of Horrors know what I'm talking about. So I think we're going to get enough of an eclipse experience without, you know, having to get in the car and drive to Ohio or wherever it is you can go for full totality. 90% is still pretty good. And you've seen Phil's been telling you about it in the news, the warnings about all of the kind of knockoff eclipse glasses that people are putting out there that aren't safe for staring at the sun. First of all, again, I'm not a doctor, but it's not like if you look at the eclipse, you're going to go blind right away. But you can cause damage to your eyes. So don't do it. But it's not like the people who are making fake eclipse glasses are trying to blind you either. I have eclipse viewers that I got from T-Mobile. As a T-Mobile customer, they do this thing where every Tuesday they have freebie giveaways. And a couple weeks ago, it was free eclipse viewer glasses. You had to go into the store and they verify that you were a customer, and then they gave you this little package that had sunglasses and a little velvet bag, and they had the special lenses you would put over those sunglasses to look at the eclipse. I'm sure those are going to be fine. That's what I'm going to use on Monday. And I put them on Facebook, and I was like, hey, thanks, T-Mobile. And somebody said, I wouldn't use those to look at the eclipse. I wouldn't trust those. Right, because T-Mobile, the company who supplies me with my smartphone and whom I pay a significant amount of money every month for service to that smartphone, they want me to go blind. They're hoping that I'll no longer be able to see and then therefore no longer need my phone to be as functional as it is. Sure, I'm sure T-Mobile wants me to go blind. They wouldn't give them out if they weren't safe. It's not like a company that's selling them just to make a quick buck. But I'm not too concerned anyway, because how much of the eclipse am I really going to sit up there and look at? From my understanding, it's going to take about 2 hours for the whole process. I don't have that kind of time in the middle of the day. But I hope that you do. Some places are actually letting workers out early for the day rather than deal with them trying to keep popping outside or looking out the window or whatever. They say, you know what, we're just going to end the day at, you know, 1:30. But there's a story at ABC6 on their website, abc6.com, that is the first I've seen of a school having early dismissal for the eclipse. And I thought this was pretty interesting. Warwick schools are going to dismiss students early on Monday for the solar eclipse as a way to keep students safe. Now, people on social media think this is unnecessary. They think that this is coddling. They think a lot of comments have been about this is just because the teachers don't want to be in school during the eclipse. But I think, too, it makes a lot of sense when you listen to the reasoning. You know, like one comment here, man, you guys look for any reason to get those kids out of the school. And then we have, wouldn't the eclipse be a great experience for the students to learn together? But then you have other parents who say, I love this idea. Others who are saying, I was going to take my kid out early anyway so that they could experience it fully. But then others just bashing them. And the reasoning behind it, the reason why the school made this decision, the school board cited safety concerns as the driving factor, according to ABC6. Sean Galligan, the school committee chairman, said, I was getting anxious myself thinking about how to tell them to put their glasses on when you're staring at it. So I just had to put myself in the shoes of a teacher who might be overseeing a class of 20 plus students. So they're concerned that, you know, the kids are going to want to go outside and see it, and that there won't be enough adult supervision of these kids to make sure that they are all wearing eclipse viewer glasses so that they don't harm their eyes. Well, that's a fair enough idea. There's also the concern that school actually gets out during the time of the eclipse. So they're letting kids out 2 hours early so that they can be home before the eclipse starts, so that there isn't an increased darkness while the kids are trying to walk home. And if you look out the window right now, you can kind of see that darkness, redness type sky where you can see, but it's dark. And you could say to yourself, well, kids could walk in this. This isn't a big deal, right? Kids walking home from school can walk in this. This is fine. People can drive in this. Cars have headlights. But we know what's really going to happen is anybody that's driving down the road during the eclipse is going to be looking out the window up at the sun. And then they're going to look up at the sun without eclipse viewer glasses on and get temporarily blinded and then turn and look back at the road and hit somebody. That's why you park your car if you want to look at the eclipse. Don't do it while you're driving. And And I would be concerned if I was the school committee. And in fact, I'm surprised more school committees aren't concerned about it. Now, not every school has a significant population of kids that walk. But in Warwick, they do. In New Bedford, they do. I wonder what the response would be if New Bedford did the same thing. If New Bedford said, we are going to dismiss kids early for the eclipse. I think people would lose their minds, just as some people are in the comments under the Warwick Public Schools post on Facebook. But I also think of all the reasons to let kids out of school early, this is a pretty good one. If I remember right, the last solar eclipse we had of this magnitude, and I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but would have been in like 91 or 2, or maybe 93. Forget what, I was living in the first house I lived in Wareham, and we drove to Falmouth to do some shopping. And I remember sitting in the back of the car and seeing it. Must not have been total, though, because we didn't need eclipse viewers. But it got eerily dark. But that was at 5:30, maybe even 6 o'clock. So it was already at a time when we were home from school. But just think about what a distraction it's going to be if you are trying to keep kids in the classroom. I mean, any teacher that does that is probably being a jerk. But then the school committee chairman's point is a fair one. How do you wrangle 20 kids outside and make sure every kid is using their glasses? And then how do you explain to the parents if that kid somehow injures their eyes? Why take the chance? Liability is a big reason for a lot of decisions. It's why there's no school on days where you're like, why couldn't they have school today? It doesn't seem that bad. Liability, that's why. But the comments of, oh, these kids are so soft. Back in my day, we didn't take time off of school for eclipses. Well, but back in your day, you got a snow day if it snowed. You didn't have to stay home and do remote learning. Back in your day, you didn't have to hit the 180-day requirement. Back in your day, they didn't have MCAS tests. And also, how many total solar eclipses did you go through while you were in school? So this is one of those examples where, one of those times where I actually don't have a problem with them letting the kids out early in Warwick. And in fact, I think more school departments should do it. Because it is a significant event, certainly significant for children to see. A lot of us adults are just going to be like, yeah, I'm too wrapped up in my day. Oh, I'll take a look out the window. Oh, cool. Okay, back to work. But then there's a lot of adults that are probably going to ditch out of work so that they can sit and watch it too. And I feel like this is one of those rare instances. You know, this isn't like having Super Bowl, the Monday after the Super Bowl off, where we know it's going to happen every year. And you're not up that late anyway, really. Like, what's 10:30 if you're getting up at 6? But the rarity of a total solar eclipse, I think, justifies this decision. But what do you think? 508-996-0500. You can also send me app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We have a guest planned for later on this morning. If you are familiar with the Reggae on West Beach event, which has been going on for a while in New Bedford, a great event that people have come to love. The organizers are in the process of getting everything lined up for that this year, but they're hitting some interesting roadblocks. And so we're going to have a guest later on today. Shakira Gonzalez is going to join us to talk about that and some of that process. So I think it'll be enlightening for a lot of you that say, well, how come people don't put on more events in the city? Because as you've heard Mayor Mitchell mention before, I know he mentioned it when I used to do midweek with the mayor. The city is all for any citizens or groups of citizens or organizations that want to put on events in the city. The city will do all that it can to help them. But that the city can't be in the business of putting on these events because they just don't have the manpower, the time. So this has to be something that the individual citizens or organizations take on. But they'll give all the support that they can. But then you have a story like this where you have citizens that are trying to do that, and there's a lot of hoops to have to jump through. So we'll talk more about that later on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Until then, it's all about you. 508-996-0500. Right now, though, I'm going to take my first break of the morning, and we'll be back in a few moments. And speaking of the WBSM app, do you have it downloaded? Do you have it handy throughout the course of the day? Are you entering in those codes each hour to try to win cash? We are giving you that opportunity each hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. We give you a simple 3-digit code that you go and enter on WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. And each entry enters you into that hour's drawing for $100. But then each entry also gets you into the grand prize drawing for $30,000. So all you have to do is listen for those codes, enter them in at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app where it says win cash. Not through app chat, not through emails. You have to go to the win cash page, and then there's little boxes to enter the code for each hour. And once you enter them, you are entered into the drawing to win. Plus, there's your chance to follow and like us and all that stuff on social media and do a few other things that will earn you some extra entries. And then you can just start dreaming about what you would do with $30,000 heading into the summer months. Vacation, maybe a jet ski, maybe a boat, maybe paying for your divorce after you buy a boat without asking your wife first, whatever it may be. 30 grand in your hand with your chance to win cash on WBSM, brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. And we will have your first code coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, and then one each hour for the remainder of the day through 5 p.m. And that's every weekday here on WBSM. So you've got 10 chances every day to try to win cash. I hope that you do. And I hope that if you do, you can make one of your immediate dreams come true. Might not be the same as if you won Powerball, but it's a little bit more realistic for you. All right. Speaking of realistic, let's get all the news of the day with Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
An earthquake off Taiwan kills and injures dozens. A controversial immigration law goes to court. And driving to New York could get more expensive.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Rescue efforts are underway this morning to search for people who might be trapped in buildings damaged by a massive magnitude 7.4 earthquake that struck off the coast of Taiwan. Michael Kastner reports.
Over half a dozen people were killed and hundreds were injured by the powerful earthquake that shook eastern Taiwan early Wednesday local time. Dozens of buildings were damaged by the quake, including a 10-story building that was left tilting and on the verge of collapse. Rescue workers were reportedly trying to reach the basement of the building, fearing people might still be trapped inside. I'm Michael Kastner.
A federal appeals court today will again hear arguments over a controversial Texas immigration law. The law would give the state the power to arrest migrants suspected of crossing the border illegally. The court last month continued a block on enforcing the law while litigation continues. The votes are in for the presidential primaries in Rhode Island, Wisconsin, Connecticut, and New York. Voters cast ballots Tuesday for their preferred presidential candidate, with President Biden and former President Trump winning in each state. No surprises there. Both Trump and Biden have already secured the delegates needed to clinch their party's nominations. Tennessee officials say the suspect who allegedly killed a man during an Easter brunch has been arrested in Kentucky. Authorities believe 46-year-old Anton Rucker opened fire in a Nashville coffee shop Sunday, killing a man he'd been arguing with and injuring around half a dozen others. Police say Rucker was arrested without incident late Tuesday at a residence in western Kentucky, where he's being jailed as a fugitive from justice. A federal judge will hear arguments today over New York City's plan to charge a $15 toll for cars driving into Manhattan. The first in the nation so-called congestion pricing plan is supported by the city's transit authority and the federal government as a way to reduce traffic and pollution in the city. New Jersey is opposed to the law, arguing it won't do much except place a burden on thousands of people who commute from that state every day. A top official is throwing cold water on the chance of an interest rate cut anytime soon. Cleveland's Federal Reserve President Loretta Mester says she's unlikely to support a cut at the Fed's May meeting. She doesn't expect to have enough data by that time to determine whether inflation is headed back down to its 2% target for sure.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Red Sox beat the Oakland Athletics 5-4. They go for another win today at 3:30. Bruins beat the Predators in Nashville last night 3-0. Next up, a game with the Carolina Hurricanes on Thursday. But first up, the Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at 7:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. Cloudy skies with temperatures around 40, gusty winds 25 to 25 miles per hour. This afternoon, the rain moves back in. The wind picks up out of the east, sustained up to 20 miles per hour. Temperature in the mid-40s overnight tonight. Slight chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Gusty winds up to 50 miles per hour tomorrow. We deal with rain once again first part of the day, and temperatures in the mid-40s, gusty winds as well. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Not bad. Hey, I had a random thought just now, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's your voice or what, but it's more of a programming suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
How about like a local sports show? Like, so, not as like a deep dive as like the Boston stations, where you get into the nitty gritty of like positioning and all that stuff of different teams, and but just like a heavy local overtone, high school, college, and then obviously professional sports in there too. But if we brought in like local guys and did like an afternoon show with like local high school guys and athletes, coaches, especially during like football season.
I can give you the answer to that. It's been proposed many times. Many people have, you know, written to the bosses here and asked for it. And, you know, breaking down the fourth wall a little bit here, the answer that's been given to people is we don't have anybody that has the level of knowledge to do it. There are other people like the Standard Times that do it better. And when it comes to really the bigger problem is nobody wants to come on and just do a local sports show. Everybody wants to come on and talk about the Red Sox, talk about the Patriots. And the problem is nobody listens to those shows because you don't know how to talk. You don't have the same knowledge base or the same access that the Boston stations have. So why do something that somebody else is going to do better? That's been the approach. That being said, if somebody, you know, comes to, you know, Michael Rock and the higher ups here at WBSM and Town Square Media and says, hey, I've got all these sponsors lined up to a sports show, they'll talk to you. But it's just in general, it's not something that we want to put resources into because in the past when we've done it, it doesn't really pan out. You know, we did a sports show here for years that had the same three people calling every week. Well, I was on the show, and it was tough.
That's interesting because especially with like all the new youth sports clubs going on, you got a lot more. Because how many years ago did you do that? You got like AAU now. You have a lot of different sports.
Well, I stepped down in 2020, so all that stuff was around. But the bigger problem is too is it's not something like people think. Oh, there's a lot of interest in it. But there isn't interest in it unless you're talking about those people's teams. So if you're talking about, you know, this team is going to Disney World to compete in a national championship, yeah, the people will care. But if you're talking about the regular, everyday, week to week of the season, it's a very, very small audience that cares, and a lot of people would just be turning off the radio.
That's true. I mean, I get what you're saying. I was just thinking, like, if you did, like, a local overtone to a broader like a broader subject of sports, right? I mean, so you do the national sport, you talk baseball during the summer, but also, hey, you know, Whalen City did this, and then you bring in a kid to talk about their sports team, or even bring in a coach from PC. You know what I don't hear? A lot of Rhode Island guys talking sports like like Providence College and Brown, you know, Brown athletic directors and all that. I don't hear them on the radio either. And they're pretty close in the market.
Yeah.
That was just a suggestion because I know that was your history.
I appreciate the suggestion. And I wish you were right. I wish that it would work. And I've sat in meetings because we had a guy for a couple of years that worked for us, Jimmy Wilkins, who was our sports guy. Like we had him out covering sports stories. That's what he wanted to do. And I was trying to, you know, give him the break the same way I got a break. And then we had, when Tim Dunn was here, Tim Dunn was a big sports fan. So we actually took the two of them and put them together on a show that we ran on our YouTube channel that got no action whatsoever. Like it just, it just seems like the basic thing is you wouldn't go on the air against Rush Limbaugh and try to do a Rush Limbaugh show. And like with the same idea is, you know, you're not going to compete with EEI and the Sports Hub if you want to do a sports show. So that's where I think it's kind of fallen by the wayside.
That's why I was thrown in the local sports because that's something that, you know, WBSM does excellent job with local politics, right? And it's really diversified from the national politics, obviously, and national talk shows. And that's why I think you guys are successful on that end. But that's why I was figuring maybe, you know, local sports would be also a nice way in. And also, you know, obviously break up the program from, politics all of the time. Like your show, I consider your show more of like a variety show in line with, you know, every other morning show that's very light and not as politically heavy. And Chris has a great, mid-morning show with, you know, the local guys. I was figuring you know, another, like the three, rings, you know, you've got your variety, politics, and then sports.
Right. And if like I said, if somebody wanted to, you know, pitch it to Michael Rock and the higher ups, they would listen, but you just got to have, you know, because we don't have the resources to put into it. We're trying to put all the resources into the rest of what we're doing. It was different when we had Jack Peterson here. I don't know if you remember Jack Peterson,
but
he was out, you know, broadcasting those games. And that's that's another thing that people have said, well, why don't you broadcast games again? Well, because we don't have the people that can do it. Well, you know, you've got to be really knowledgeable. Then you've got to have people that can actually work Friday nights and Saturdays to do that. You've got to have people back here to help with the technical part of it. And then on top of all of that, you've got to deal with the MIAA, who is, you know, not necessarily going to let everybody come in and broadcast. You say, hey, we want to broadcast that game. They say, oh, we've already got WNBH in the game. So.
Right.
You don't need somebody else to come and broadcast. So it's always been kind of a precarious thing, but it's just something that we know that there's an audience for, you know, local sports. But the problem is that audience only cares about certain things, and you've got to have the right people to be able to do it. So it's one of those things where if we can't do it well, we just don't do it.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So if I need any programming suggestions, I thought you did the AM side, like the programming for the AM side, and Michael Rock did the FM side.
Yeah, but you know what I don't do?
What?
Budgeting.
That's
I can have all the ideas in the world, but somebody else has to sign off on them. So
someone's got to sign that check.
Yeah.
All right. I would still tune in, but I mean that's an audience of one.
Well, I mean, and like I said, you know, people would tune in. The problem is, you know, do more people tune out as a result of it?
Right. Yeah, that's you make it controversial. You know, say Whalen City sucks. Whalen City baseball sucks. It's the worst. You know, it's fake umpires, fake calls. And then now all of a sudden you've got controversy and everybody from, you know, all the radio shows start calling into yours.
Listen, nobody in the Greater New Bedford Youth Baseball League is going to win a single game all year just to see how many people call in because they would say, oh, well, actually, that league doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true. All right, Tim.
All right.
I just figured I'd throw that out.
No, I appreciate it.
Like I know you actually had a personal history with the sports team. So
that's how I started here, was doing sports.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Tim.
All right, thank you for the call. Have a good day.
You got it. Bye.
Yeah, that's way back. I think it was 2002, right after the Patriots had won the Super Bowl for the first time. You know, I know it was the end of the 2001 season, but the Super Bowl actually happened in 2002. Right after the Patriots won, I got an email from Evan Russo here at WBSM saying, you know, we're starting a sports show, myself and Jack Peterson, and we love to read your pro wrestling column, and we would like you to call in every week for 5 minutes and just talk about pro wrestling. And as somebody who... my lifelong dream had been to be in media and to, you know, be on the radio. I said, well, can I come in and do it? And they're like, yeah, if you want to come in for 5 minutes, that's fine. And so I came in at the beginning of the first show and hung out with them and chimed in on some other things. And they said, well, you should probably just be a co-host. And so I did that for 4 years. I was a co-host of the locker room. We moved around different nights. But there were some nights when, you know, it was the three of us and it would be a three-person discussion. Sometimes it was just me and Jack or me and Evan. But then it turned into Pete Braley reaching out to me and saying, hey, we like you on the radio. Would you like to do something else? And that's when I pitched Spooky South Coast and Pete said, okay. And the rest is history. So yeah, that's, 22 years ago now. So I've been here for 22 years in different capacities. I think the only person that's been here longer than me on the air is Michael Rock. You know, consistently here. Other people have been in the market, but not necessarily at the station. So anyway, that's why people are like, oh, who's this guy that just came in the last couple of years? No, I've been hanging around bothering everybody for over two decades now. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Them.
Massachusetts' own Lemonheads.
508-996-0500. You can also send in app chat messages on and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And really, you know, in talking about sports coverage here, youth sports has become so specialized that I actually think if you brought people on to talk about youth sports, you would have to know a lot about youth sports. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I guess after all these years, I can reveal my secret. I faked my way through being a sports writer for 20 years. I did not know all the ins and outs of soccer and field hockey, lacrosse. I didn't know every rule. I didn't know every call. I didn't know design plays and formations and all that stuff. And I brought this up to John Comey, who was the person that hired me. He and Dave Cuddy hired me to cover sports. My first day covering high school sports, September 11th, 2001. Comey called me up that afternoon and said, "I don't think we're going to need you to come in today. We'll let you know when we have something for you." So it was actually a couple of weeks after that that I covered my first game, which was an old Rochester soccer game. And I can't remember if it was girls or boys. But John called me and said, can you cover this soccer game? And I said, "John, I don't know anything about soccer." And he said, "We don't need you to know. We just need you to write what you see. Just tell the story of what happens in the game. If you don't know all the ins and outs, that's fine. You know, when you come back to the office, we can talk it out and we can let you know the right terminology and all of that. But the important thing is just to write what you see." And so that's how I handled it for years. I don't know anything about hockey, but I covered a lot of hockey. They would send me to cover state tournament games, and I would always say, is Mick Colaggio busy? Because he's the best hockey writer in the world. Why doesn't he cover the game? And usually it's because he was covering another game. But I was like, "Are you sure?" But I would write the articles, and then everybody would be, I guess, happy with my work because they kept having me do it. It could have also been because I was the only one that answered the phone and said, "Yeah, I can do it." It was kind of a running joke for years. I never turned down an assignment because I was trying so hard to get a full-time job there so I could get out of the cooking business. And then once I realized I'm never going to get a full-time job here, then I was like, "No, I can't cover that now." Which, you know, was fair. It wasn't like I was sitting at home. If I could be out making money, I'd rather be out making money. But the youth sports beat and the high school sports beat takes a very special kind of person. And that's why we're lucky here on the South Coast that we have Lori Loss Lee covering high school sports. Because there are few people around that have the passion that she has. There's only one other person I've ever known in my entire life that had the passion for high school sports that Lori has. And that was Buddy Thomas, who still does have that passion. You know, he's just stepped back. But I bet you if you asked him anything about a high school boys team, he would know. But we have been very fortunate that that was who we had covering high school sports now for, what, over half a century, to go from Buddy Thomas to Lori Loss Lee. We are very fortunate here. And so are all the kids that they report on. They both love their jobs. And it comes through in the dedication they have for it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Got to take one final break in the hour. All right, let's take a